Well, neither the Queen nor Mrs. Thatcher was famous for being fond of the theatre, but you've decided to set the play, as it were, in the theatre. Was this to free you up, to free the writing up?
Yes, it was. And also, if you take two characters who are very comfortable in their own spheres and put them in your sphere, and for me that is the theatre, I felt it sort of equalised us all, if you like, taking the Queen and Mrs. Thatcher out of their comfort zone and putting them in mine. I think it gave me the confidence to tackle them as equals, because you don't... It's not interesting to revere people. It's absolutely not interesting to either revere or deconstruct politically. Mm-hmm. You have to almost attack them as characters, and that is what... That suddenly, when you walk on stage in a theatre, you are a character. And as soon as they were in my world, I knew what to do with them. I knew exactly what to do, and to make the play as much about... to make the play playful. Suddenly it all became playful as soon as they stepped onto the stage.
Yes, and it changes the relationship between them and the audience as well, doesn't it? Because the audience is sharing jokes about how we're all in the same space.
Yeah, the audience is part... both the Queen and Mrs. Thatcher use the audience as their confidant. The audience is absolutely part of the relationship. The Queen early on in the play says to Mrs. Thatcher, "We mustn't say anything that goes beyond these three walls." Yes. And the implication is that everything they're going to say is for the audience. They want to tell their story to the audience. So the audience is absolutely part of the relationship. And I think that's possibly what makes the play kind of fun to watch. Like, usually when I've written a play, I do get, after I've seen it about, 30 times, I get a bit bored with it. But I haven't got bored watching Handbagged. It's really good fun to watch, and I think that's because the audience are so much part of the recipe.
Mm. Yes, it's nice how they even argue about whether there's to be an interval or not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Every theatrical convention becomes something you can play with.
Yes. And I believe the actors, two of the actors, have to go outside, don't they, to come back in through the audience,
which has
caused a few double takes.
It has, actually. It has. I think the people on the Old Witch on a rainy night see our two actresses both playing the Queen, escorted by stage management, often under umbrellas, round to the front of the theatre, in through the front doors. And I think we've had quite a few bookings as a result.
Well, Marion Bailey does look extraordinarily like the Queen,
yeah,
doesn't she?
Yeah, it is extraordinary, because she doesn't at all in real life. But, I mean, goodness me. I mean, it is astonishing when you go into the dressing room and see, you feel you really are in the presence of either the Queen or of Mrs. Thatcher. When you go into Fenella and Stella's dressing rooms.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, all the actors are very good, but Marion Bailey and Fenella Woolgar, who plays the younger Mrs. Thatcher, look exactly like them. I mean, that you'd think you were actually seeing them.
Yes, they do, but I think the fact that each character is played by two actresses sort of gives you even a rounder picture of that character somehow. And I think that's a very important sort of element of the play, is that our Mrs. Thatcher and our Queen are both portrayed by two actresses.
Yes, and as we've said, that allows for arguments between the younger and the older persons.
Yes, and that each actor brings so much of themselves to the character that you get a slightly different Mrs. Thatcher and a slightly different Queen, which again almost adds to the picture.
Yeah. Well, we should mention the other Queen and Mrs. Thatcher. That's Lucy Robinson, who's taken over from Claire Holman, who played the younger Queen at Hampstead, and Stella Gonne as the older Mrs. Thatcher. Well, so you had one change of cast. There are the two men as well. We will come on to them in a minute. But you had a change of cast. But were there a lot of other changes between Hampstead and the Vaudeville?
Indu and I both thought it was a fantastic opportunity to really rework
Indu Rubasingham.
Indu Rubasingham. And she is a very hard-working, I mean, quite wonderful director. We have enjoyed working with each other so much, and I'm sure we'll do again. But she wanted to rework certain things in the play. It's just a privilege. It's an opportunity when you've put something on once, to all the little things that you think, oh, I can think of a better line for that, or, yes, I want to rework this bit. You get the opportunity to do all of that. Mm. And I did quite a lot of work on the script for the West End run. I mean, just cutting, finessing, and a couple of just little rewrites, really. You know, certain things coming to light in the press about Mrs. Thatcher cancelling meetings with the Queen right, left and centre, which after the 30-year rule have just come to light this winter. And I sort of thought, God, that's got to go in the play. And, you know,
that's almost unbelievable.
I know, but as time passes, more and more stuff like this will come to light, and eventually someone will write the definitive Mrs. Thatcher and the Queen, piece. But I think for I've tried to be as current as I can, and I keep thinking, every time I find something out, I go, oh, I've got to get that in somehow.
So you mean there might be more changes in future?
Well, in future productions, I mean, who knows what we don't yet know? I mean, they said so little about their relationship.
Yes.
We may never know.
I was going to say, a lot of modern plays, and not of contemporary playwrights, get put on in Europe. This is a very English play, isn't it? Or do you think it might get taken up by Germany or somewhere?
It's a very English play, but it amazed me.
They're fascinated by our royalty, aren't they?
Well, it amazed me from the moment we opened how many different languages I heard in the auditorium. Mm. That on the first preview, I was sitting behind a big party of Russians. And I just thought, goodness me. And I don't think it's just the Queen. I think people all over the world are quite fascinated by Mrs. Thatcher. Mm. You know, the Iron Lady. She's a legend. Like her or hate her, she's a world legend.
Yeah.
And we have people from all over the world, the Commonwealth countries, I think, particularly, but all over Europe and further afield.
Yes. So you never know. There might be a German or Russian language version.
Who knows?
Well, we haven't mentioned yet or talked about the two men playing the parts, Jeff Rawl and Neet Mohan, who play everybody else, male and female, which allows for some comedy, of course. But it also allows you to introduce subjects which neither the Queen nor Mrs. Thatcher would ever refer to, doesn't it?
Yes. I think what I found really difficult when I started writing the play was thinking, how can I get the voice of opposition in? How can I get the way I feel into this play as somebody who pretty much was appalled by almost everything that Mrs. Thatcher did? I thought, how do I get that voice into the play? You know, the hundreds of thousands of people in this country who were against her, because she's not going to tell us anything like that, and neither's the Queen.
No, the Queen's too discreet to say.
So I just thought,
and
I just
we don't
thought
know anyway.
that the actors, the most important people that the actors play, are two actors. You know, they play two actors who have come in to serve Mrs. Thatcher and the Queen in this bizarre play. And everybody who Mrs. Thatcher and the Queen want them to be, they will be. But they still have their own opinions.
And they sort of represent us as well.
Yeah, they represent us, like Neet, who is... And it's quite important that one of the actors is older and was around in the 1980s and was kind of mature, grown-up in the 1980s, and that the other actor is much younger and wasn't around in the 1980s. And so that he is questioning the older actor about, well, you know, what did happen, what was it like? And he's also questioning Mrs. Thatcher and the Queen on things like, for example, they just ride roughshod. They don't talk about the race riots in 1981. And he, of course, he's read about the race riots, and he wants to know. And he wants to know why they're not talking about them. Mm. And he wants to know about the miners' strike. And he wants to know. So it is a way of just opening up the discussion. And then it is quite interesting how Mrs. Thatcher gets out of talking about the things that she doesn't want to talk about. And in a way, it sort of gives you... You know, Mrs. Thatcher was so good at protecting herself in interviews. I mean, quite famously, I remember Robin Day, reading about Robin Day, saying that the way one should question Mrs. Thatcher is to say, "What is your answer to my first question, Mrs. Thatcher?" And that would be how the interview went, that she was so good at not answering questions and not talking about what she wants to talk about. But somehow the two actors get her, you know, we sort of see this vision, and they start to become more and more subversive as the play goes on.
Yes, yes.
You know, that they're both arguing about who gets to play Neil Kinnock. You know, I mean, I don't know. And again, it's very, very playful, but it was my way of getting that voice in. And the two actors are enormously important as part of the play.
And enormously hardworking too.
Incredibly hardworking. I mean, I don't know. I can't count how many characters they play. Mm. You know, we've got everybody in there from Gerry Adams to Nancy Reagan to Geoffrey Howe, Heseltine, Scargill. I mean, and just, you know, like a poll tax protester. And
yeah.
Mm. So they do, and they're both brilliant. They just are absolutely brilliant.
Well, they look as if they're really enjoying it.
Yeah, but... I think so. I think it must be. Yeah. I mean, you know, you always want to write roles that are fun to play.
Yeah.
I think that was my history as being an actor myself, starting out training as an actor. I've never wanted to write a role that is a chore to play. And I think our two guys have fun.
Yeah. Well, the older one, Jeff Rawl, gets Neil Kinnock, and that speech, the famous warning speech, is very well done, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's because it's an amazing speech, and it's
yeah.
still as relevant now as it was then.
Yes,
it's unbelievable when you read that speech. You just think 30 years have passed,
yes,
and those words still absolutely go,
yes,
to the
you know. Made me think he was a real loss as a possible prince.
Well, I think he was, you see, because Neil Kinnock was a reasonable man,
yeah,
and nobody reasonable stood a chance against Mrs. Thatcher, because she was a completely unreasonable extremist.
Mm. Well, that's her, but she could also be very funny in your play, so that's
yes.
Well,
you've got to laugh, haven't you,
got,
really?
You've got to laugh. But and you've got to laugh at royalty as well, I suppose.
I think so. We've fought long and hard for many hundreds of years for the privilege of laughing at royalty.
Yes.
And I don't think we should ever let that go.
Yes. It's funny, though, isn't it? Because there have been a number of plays with royalty in them, like The Audience and Charles III. And although in both those plays there were laughs, there's also some kind of deference to these people. The actors who play royalty, somehow they get a sort of aura about them while they're in the character. People sort of treat them slightly differently. I'm sure Helen Mirren became the Queen while she was playing.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I read The Audience. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Marion Bailey, certainly. I think I'd curtsy if I bumped into
her. Oh, yeah, I do in the dressing room. I would certainly tug my forelock, as it were.
Well,
but while I'm laughing.
Yes, yes, of course. Well, I know you're working on another big project, which you probably can't tell us about yet. Am I right about that?
I'm afraid I can't yet, but there's several irons in the fire.
Ah, well, we look forward to the next thing. Thank you so much, Moira.
Thank you.